If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be back in the book of Genesis chapter 21. I alluded to this last Sunday morning, and I got to thinking, I look back, I preached a message from this several years ago, and it's been several years now, and the Lord had showed me something, I just couldn't get away from it, so I've learned to obey the Lord. And I will say this morning, this is probably not a message that I would typically preach on a Sunday morning. Sunday is a day of the resurrection. It's a day of new beginnings. It's the first day of the week. And I'm going to have to ask you to put your thinking cap on a little bit this morning. And I know in the day of the modern day that we live in, the day of AI, that nobody wants to think anymore. We just ask the computer, and Google tells us. But I'm going to have to ask you to maybe do a little bit more thinking this morning than what you normally would. And and regardless of what you've been taught, I know as a young child I was taught differently than what I'm going to preach to you this morning. If you will, just give me a few minutes and listen with an open mind. And I think that God has something here to show you today. You know, a lot of times we can read scriptures, and we read it, and we just read over it, and don't really comprehend what. And it's not that I was my teachers, and I've even taught it the other way. And it's not that you know we was actually teaching it maybe wrong, but it wasn't 100% correct. But God still blessed us because we done it with a pure and a good heart and done it in the right way. And Genesis chapter 21, I'm going to begin read a couple of verses here for the sake of time. I'm not going to read everything that I read last Sunday. And I'll begin reading at verse number 33 there. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and call there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So Abraham planted a grove, and he dug a well. If you'll remember last Sunday, I talked about the well and the trees that he planted. And it said, and Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Now let's go to chapter 22. And it came to pass, after these things, after what things? Well, the things we just got through talking about. And God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, which is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We know from last Sunday that Abraham dug a well, and Abraham planted a tree, a grove of trees, actually. We know from history that that was a tamarisk tree, a tree that grows its roots deep to find the water, a tree that is slow growing, a tree that will survive the desert area, dry and hot and barren places. Abraham knew what kind of a tree that had to be planted. I know that this is probably is going to be just a little bit boring for some of y'all this morning to start out with, but please bear with me. Dates, we read our Bible sometimes and dates just don't, they don't seem important. They don't seem significant, but dates are very important. And there's a reason they're there. For instance, the common accepted date of Passover is April the 15th. That was the day that the lamb was slain. The blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And the angel of the Lord passed over the land. And if the blood wasn't applied, the firstborn of every household perished that night. The cry went out. Did you know the date that Jesus died on the old rugged cross was April the 15th? The day the blood was shed. The date of the resurrection, I know some of y'all are probably going to try to be theologians, but for all intents and purposes, hear me out. The date that Jesus, the resurrection took place was April the 17th. Would you dare to guess what day it was the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground? April the 17th. Are you seeing a correlation between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Dates are important. God sees tomorrow like we see yesterday. You know, when we read a passage in the Bible, if we read a passage in 5 minutes, we think it happened in 5 minutes. That's not the way it always is. You know, our Bible was translated. I'm going to give you just a little bit of history here this morning. Our Bible was translated, but it wasn't translated in chronological order. When you get to Kings and Chronicles, you'll read a series of events that take place there. It's the same events that took place in 1 and 2 Samuel. It's just recorded in a different place at a different time. For instance, in the New Testament, when you talk about the blind Bartimaeus, I believe that it's the same. We have four gospel writers, but one gospel. In the book of Matthew, it talks about a blind man. In the book of Mark, it speaks specifically of blind Bartimaeus, I believe it is the same blind man that Matthew is speaking about. He just doesn't call him by name. But when you read through those things, it appears it happens really quickly. In chapter 21 and chapter 22 is a good example of that in the book of Genesis. I believe it's verse number 7 that we of chapter 15 that the Lord tells Abraham to get thee out of the land of the Chaldees and into a land that I'm going to show you, and a promised land. And if you can number the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea, that will be your offspring. He went to look for a land whose foundations, builder and maker, was God. You know, up until the late 19 or the early 1900s, they tried to tell us that the Ur of Chaldees didn't exist. They finally found it covered with a pile of sand. The Bible is true. He's now, Abraham is now 86 to 87 years old. He's promised a seed. God told him, you're going to have a child. 86 to 87 years old. Sarah thinks there's no way. She provides Abraham her handmaid. Ishmael is born. You'll read about that whenever Isaac is weaned, Hagar, his mother, Sarah tells Abraham, I don't want this handmaiden and Ishmael in it. Get rid of them. There's a separation there that takes place. You'll read about it in verse number 21. There was 14 years between Ishmael and Isaac. When we read from chapter 21 and get into chapter 22, we still want to keep Ishmael at 14 years old and Isaac as a little toddler. By the time that we get to verse 21, Ishmael is dwelling in the land of Paran, and Ishmael is married. My time goes by quick. I look at these young people up here singing, and it wasn't long ago when they was back there in the nursery. I don't mean to embarrass you, but the time goes by quick. Abraham digs a well and plants a grove. Sarah gives birth to Isaac at the age of 90. Sarah dies at the age of 127. Abraham lives to 175. We know by Scripture, you can go home and study this out, but Isaac gets married at the age of 40, just shortly after Sarah dies at the age of 127. In just a few short verses, we see him being born to being 4 to 5 years old when the well was dug and the trees were planted. Abraham said, I'm going to use these trees as a marker. If the well ever gets covered up by the enemy, will know where to go and to dig back and find the water in a desert land. God calls him. He says, I want you to Abraham. I want you to go up on Mount Moriah. I'm going to show you the place. I want you to go. And I want you to take your son to offer him for a sacrifice. I want you to look with me in verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 22. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now wait a minute, preacher. You just told me that he just got through having a son by the name of Ishmael. You see, the world will tell you that the Bible is not true. The Bible contradicts itself. Because the Bible says here, thy only son. He had another son by the name of Isaac. How do you explain that? Can I teach you something this morning? I know this is a little bit different for Sunday morning. But if you look there, if you've got a King James Bible, he says there that in verse 2, and take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. You see that word son before Isaac? It is italicized. That means it wasn't part of the original translation. So if I could read this correctly, he says, take now thy son, thine only Isaac. No other son is going to do. He was specific that this is the son. This is the one that you've got to take. You know, the Father in heaven had only one begotten son. But the Bible tells us, but as many are as received him to themselves, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. God has many sons. He has many daughters. I'm a child of the King this morning. You're a child of the King if you've been blood bought, if you've accepted him as your personal Savior. But let's get this right. There was only one son without spot and without blemish. And it was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth, that was worthy enough to die for the sins of humanity, to hang between two thieves on an old rugged cross. That son. I want you to think about something with me in verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I want to propose something to you this morning. Does that sound like the conversation of a 3 to a 5 year old? When my children was that age, Dad, are we there yet? How much further? I need to stop and use the restroom. Dad, I'm hungry. I know all the paintings that you've probably ever seen depicting this scene. Isaac is a little boy. Just a lad. But it raises the question in my mind. Dad, where is the... I see the wood, and I see the fire, but where's the lamb? You know why he asked that question? I believe that Abraham had seen his father time and time again offer sacrifice to place the wood on the fire, place the wood and place the fire and build an altar and sacrifice a lamb. He had seen him time and time again offer a sacrifice. In order for him to ask, where is the lamb? He takes the wood from the beast and puts it on his son. On Calvary, God took the wood off of the beast and put it on his son. The burden is no longer on the bullock. It's no longer on the lamb or the turtle dove or the pigeon. But he took the wood off of his son, off of the beast, and put it on his son. That his son, there was only one that was worthy. And his name was Jesus. He puts his son, Isaac, on the altar. Now we know from Scripture that he was 3 to 5 years old. According to most scholars and most people that have studied this out, whenever his father, Abraham, dug the well and planted the trees. We know that from Scripture that he was 40 years old when he got married. So I think it would be safe to say that Isaac was somewhere between the 3.5, 5-year-old to 40-year-old range when this took place. Brother Isaac, he was I would say you would agree with me, he was a strapping young man. Abraham, his father, bound his son and placed him on the altar. Abraham would have been over 100 years old at this time. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if Isaac didn't want to, Abraham couldn't have made him. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. But he went willingly to the cross, laid down his life that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. He died for our sins willingly. He went to the cross with you in mind. Frank Clausen, he was a very, very intelligent man. He was a engineer and architect. He quit his job, and after he got converted and got saved, he quit his job and began just fascinated with the Bible. And he started studying the chronological order of the Bible. And he wrote a chronology of the Bible. It was published in 1975. He spent 10 years studying and researching before he ever spoke about it. He got with Ed Reese. Ed Reese was another very intelligent man that spent his lifetime devoting to making time charts and graphs and your Bible. And most of the time charts and graphs that you see now, published now, are works that they have started that other people may have just improved upon or embellished upon their original work. But he says that in his writings that Isaac was born in 1867 B.C. The covenant between Abraham and Abimelech was between 1864 to 1863. They're not real sure of the year there. It's between 64 and 63. The covenant was made with Abimelech. In 1834, when this event happened and took place, guess how old Isaac was? Well, if you subtract 1867 from 1834, he was 33 years old. How old do you think Jesus was when he went to the cross? 33 and a half years. Well, preacher, that's just coincidence. I don't think so. How old was Jesus when the burden went off of the beast? And he became our burden bearer. He was 33 years old. Well, where did the wood come from? Need I remind you that we're in a desert? Abraham planted the tree. Isaac, no doubt, was there when Abraham dug the well and when Abraham planted the grove. Isaac was there. He seen his father plant the tree. Year after year, he would watch his father offer up a lamb. There's an old song that Chuck Lawrence wrote. And I'm just going to read it to you this morning. I'd sing it if I could, but I can't sing. He said, he molded and built a small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be the thorns that would make his sons bleed. Then he made a green stem and gave it leaves. And then he gave it sunshine and rain and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life. With love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. And he grew the tree so that we might go free. I can just imagine Abraham planting that tree, watering it and caring for it, and knowing that this tree is going to be different. The tree pointed to the well, and the tree produced the fire. You can't have Pentecost without Calvary. Calvary gave us the gospel. But the fire of Pentecost gave us the ability to preach about Calvary. What you plant today, come back to the music if you will. I've held you long enough. What you plant today, 30 years from now, will bring you either grief or it'll bring you joy. You're planting a seed in your children, in your community. You say, well, Brother Hubbard, I've wasted my life. I'm grown. My children are out of the home. What can I do now? Listen to me. God can turn your seed of grief into a moment of joy. I've said before, multiple times at funeral services, that we don't bury Christians, we plant them. But they take my body and place my body in a ground out here somewhere if the Lord chooses to tarry. That's not just going to be a burial spot. That's going to be a resurrection plot. Because He's coming back one day for a church that has made theirself ready. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to encourage you, this morning would be a good time to plant a seed that will grow, that will either be, it'll either be grief or it'll be joy. You're going to plant a seed one way or the other. But is it going to be seeds of wild oats? Or is it going to be a seed for the kingdom of God?